like that makes me sweat a little. I mean, obviously they know who I am, or I wouldn't be here. But still, I've never claimed my handle publicly before, and I'm not crazy about doing it now, in a government building. Then again, that could be the point, right? This is the CIA, and maybe they want to see how I react to having a curveball like this thrown at me. The receptionist watches, eagle-eyed, as I peel the backing off the label and start to press the tag onto my hip. No need to advertise any more than necessary, after all. But she stops me with a shake of her head and a sharp, "No, it needs to go on your chest." She pats her own gray tweed lapel to ensure that I understand. I do. After my name tag is in its CIA-approved place, she gestures toward the elevators to our right. Agent Carstairs will escort you upstairs. Before she's even done speaking, the elevator doors glide open, and a tall, dark-skinned man in a navy suit is standing there, face carefully blank, eyes alert. I try to introduce myself, but I don't get any further than, "Hi, I'm Issa," before he cuts me off.
"I know who you are, Miss Torres. Please come with me."
Okay. So everyone here is in "we know more than you do" mode. Which is true. I'm not denying that. But it still makes me want to pull out my gear and take them down a few pegs. They aren't the only ones who know things, like how to access information that others can't. I step onto the elevator instead. This is an audition, after all. I'll get to show them exactly what I know and what I can do soon enough. Agent Carstairs doesn't speak as the elevator swishes us up to the fourth floor, nor does he speak as he leads me down a long hallway lined with official-looking pictures of official-looking people, former CIA directors, according to the plaques beneath the frames. The enormity of where I am sinks in a little more with each step I take, with each picture we pass, and my stomach starts to flip-flop. Normally, I've got mad confidence in my skills, but I want this too much. Suddenly, I'm terrified that I'm going to make a mistake and end up back in San Antonio, hacking test sites to help my dad make ends meet. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. The words are a mantra in my head, a beat in my blood, and they're ramping me up a little higher with each step we take. Thank God we get to the end of the hall before I go into total and complete freak-out mode. It's close, though, and I concentrate on taking deep breaths as we pause outside a door labeled Conference Room 1A. Agent Carstairs glances at me before he pushes the door open. I expect him to lead the way, but he gestures for me to cross the threshold. So I do, trying my hardest to look like I belong here. Seconds later, the door closes firmly behind me. I am on my own. A man in a brown suit at the front of the conference room turns to look at me, as do the five people sitting around a long table. My stomach sinks a little as I look back and forth among them, but I don't let it show. Instead, I square my shoulders and paint a badass look on my face, trying not to notice that there's only one seat left, which means I'm the last to arrive. Late, not early. Fantastic.
"Issa, glad you're here,"
the man at the front of the room says as he gestures me closer.
"We've been waiting for you. Please, take a seat so we can get started."
"Sorry, I'm late," I say. "My flight was a little delayed." I couldn't control that, so I don't know why I'm apologizing, but I feel like I'm at a disadvantage walking in last.
"You're not late,"
he assures me, with what I think is supposed to be a smile, but most definitely is not.
"But please, do take a seat so we can begin." "Wouldn't want to get a minute off schedule,"
one of the guys mutters as I pass. He's big, with mocha-colored skin and killer dreads. He also looks like he's about to get a root canal instead of audition for an all-expenses-paid trip.